Well, good morning, church family, and good to be with you. Next weekend, I will be with, God willing, the Claremont Baptist Church Retreat. And so I would appreciate your prayers as this week I prepare for that. And that's why I won't be with you next Sunday morning, but certainly look forward to being with you next Sunday evening when we have Dr. Carl Peterson back with us. It's lovely to see Dr. and Mrs. Jonathan Ball with us. Welcome, Jonathan and Carolyn. Lovely to see you and to have you with us today. And you have an outline today. We come to the end of our meditations in the letter to the Hebrews. So breathe a sigh of relief and then turn to chapter 13. Chapter 13 of the letter to the Hebrews. And as you've seen, our theme, leading the Jesus way. And God willing, we'll do this in three parts. Today's will be somewhat introductory to leading the Jesus way. And then next Sunday will be specifically on leadership and the characteristics of leadership and the leader in God's church. And then the Sunday after that will be specifically on eldership. So a little series that is inspired out of Hebrews 13 on Christian leadership, which I trust will be a blessing and helpful to you all. So if you've got Hebrews 13 open before you, I just want to read to you a few verses. First, verse 7, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you, consider the outcome of their way of life, and imitate their faith. And then in verse 17 of Hebrews 13, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. And then notice as he closes out in verse 24, he says, greet all your leaders and all God's people. And so as we close out our messages from the letter to this predominantly Hebrew congregation in the first century, our attention is drawn to the very significant question of leadership in the Christian church. In our earlier Bible reading from Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul highlighted the responsibility of those of us who have been given by God the gift of leadership. He said, if a man's gift is leadership, let him govern diligently. And the sense there is, let him lead. Make sure that he's free to lead as God has gifted him to. Make sure that he is not hindered in the work of the Lord that God has gifted him for as a leader in the local church, the body of Christ. Romans 12:8, the gift of leadership. Here in Hebrews 13 and verse 7, our writer says, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you, consider the outcome of their way of life, and imitate their faith. And then again, verse 17, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. And then verse 24, greet all your leaders. Beloved, it is simply a fact of life that most anything and everything in this world stands or falls on the issue of leadership. Whether it is a nation, or whether it is the government, whether it is regional or national or local, leadership is really the big issue. And when it comes to business, leadership is the big issue. And when it comes to the church of our Lord Jesus, leadership is also very obviously, from what Scripture has said to us already this morning, a very big issue. Bill Hybels has what has become quite a famous saying, the hope of the world is the church of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the future of the church of the Lord Jesus rests very much in the hands of its leaders. As goes the leader, so go the followers. It's a very important subject. So if you have your outline, you may like to fill in some of the things that we mention as we go along. First, let me mention that the Greek word translated leader here is used to describe one who governs, one who rules, one who has authority, one who superintends, one who oversees. One who, in simple terms, is gifted by God to lead his people on his agenda. And you may not find a better definition of leadership than that. The Romans 12:8 gift means God gifts some within the body of Christ to lead his people on his agenda, not their own. Our writer highlights the fact that they deliver the word of God to the people and keep watch over them. So their way of life is to be exemplary, their faith is to be vibrant and worthy of imitating, and the people under their care are to submit to their authority and make their task a joy and not a burden. The word of God is always very clear, isn't it? Would you allow me this morning the privilege of gathering up what the Bible has to say about leading the Jesus way and setting it out for you point by point as you have it in your outline. The first thing we must understand about Christian leadership is this. It is God himself who chooses and gifts his leaders. It is God himself who chooses and gifts his leaders. I did not choose the Romans 8 gift of leadership for myself. I probably would have chosen anything but. But like all the charismata, all the grace gifts of God, all the spiritual gifts listed in the New Testament, and there are over 20 of them, they are all graciously bestowed by God himself. They are unmerited, undeserved, simply a demonstration of God's lavish grace. They are enablements bestowed by the Holy Spirit and are to be exercised under the anointing of the Holy Spirit for the blessing of God's church. Often the gifts have no relation whatsoever to our natural abilities, so that through our natural weaknesses, the power of God himself is manifested through the gifting of the Holy Spirit. And so God is glorified and not his servant, who is merely a channel of God's gifting. We're simply pots of clay, beloved, into which God has poured his treasure, which is Christ, in the person and power of the Holy Spirit, who gifts us all in undeserved, unmerited fashion. The gifts of the Holy Spirit of God, including leadership, are nothing more, nothing less than the overflow of God's grace at work in the life of the believer. And so we read, if you look at it once again, in the book of Romans and chapter 12, and from verse 3, "For it is by grace, the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given you." We have different gifts according to the grace that is given to us. So that's the first thing that we need to fully understand. It is God himself who chooses and gifts his leaders. The second thing we need to understand is that we are called to function not to position, rank, or title. We are called to function, not position. The purpose of the gift of leadership, as with any other of the gifts of God, is not to give a rank or status or a title or office. The purpose of the gift is to enable ministry, to equip us for the task that God has in mind. God deliver us from jockeying for position or a power base in his church. That is a carnal curse that has wrecked many a local church. The gift is for ministry. It is for service. It is for function. It's not for rank or title. The gift of leadership is a Holy Spirit inspired and imparted enabling of the Word of God and the will of God for his people, setting the direction and the doctrine that they are to take in accomplishing God's purpose for the church in the world. Even when the New Testament gives titles like bishop, presbyter, pastor, which by the way are all interchangeable terms in the New Testament, they are descriptive of function, not an office. What's the use of a title if you're not getting the job done? God does the gifting, number one. Number two, the gifts are for service, for ministry, for the edification and the equipping of the body of Christ. They're not a title on your office door, or a special collar you wear, or a robe that you wear. The gifts are there for function, so that they are an enablement of the Holy Spirit to build God's people to maturity in the Lord Jesus, and to oversee that in such a way that God's people grow to maturity in Christ. The third thing to understand is that all God's children are gifted for ministry and service of one kind or another. We are all servants gifted to serve our Lord and his church and his world. The only difference is we're gifted differently for different kinds of ministry, from teaching to administration, from prophesying to encouraging. As I mentioned, there are over 20 gifts mentioned in the New Testament. God's gifts are to us all. Every one of us has at least one gift and ministry that is given by God. We are all ministers. There's no such thing as clergy and laity in the New Testament. We are all ministers, we are all servants, we all have the same Holy Spirit who gifts us severally in different ways for different tasks. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you'd look at that for a moment, from verses 4 to 7. There the Apostle Paul is dealing with the charismata, the gifts of God, and fasten your seatbelts because you need to understand God arranges his church charismatically. Don't die of fright. If you're not a charismatic, you're not a New Testament Christian. The charismata are simply grace gifts, and every person in the body of Christ is gifted by God's grace in some particular way. So I am a charismatic, and you are a charismatic, if you understand your New Testament. There's no such thing as a Christian whom God has not graciously gifted in some way. Amen? That's the truth. And so God's gifting is something that is very important to understand. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. And yet, sadly, so many Christians are. And he says in verse 4, there are different gifts, different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is given for the common good. And then he lists just a random list of the spiritual gifts. So there it is. All God's children are gifted in some way for ministry to the Lord, ministry to the church, and ministry to the world. One night, the tools in the carpenter's shop had a continuing argument as to who is the greatest. And the saw said, "I'm surely the greatest, because without me, the carpenter would not even be able to cut the pieces of wood to size." But Mr. Plain said, "But surely I'm the greatest, because without me, those pieces of wood wouldn't be planed down." And the sandpaper said, "But without me, they couldn't be smoothed off to a wonderful finish." And Mr. Nick Mallett said, "Without me, those little kind of lugs wouldn't be able to be hammered into place. And so surely I'm the most important." And Mr. Chisel said, "It's got to be me, because unless the carpenter uses me to chisel away the pieces of wood and shape them, he wouldn't be able to even begin to get those shapes." And so, you know, the storm raged on through the night. And in the morning, the carpenter came in, and with skill and calmness, he fashioned in his carpenter's shop the most magnificent pulpit from which the Word of God could be proclaimed. And Mr. Saw, with a smile so wide that all his teeth were showing, said, "I see it now. I see it now. The Master needs us all." That's how it is in the body of Christ. Point number four that so many Christians don't seem to grasp: it is God's gifting that defines our area of ministry and service in the church. This is Paul's point in Romans chapter 12. And so a teacher is one who has been gifted by the Holy Spirit to so unfold the truths of God's word under his anointing that learners apply those truths in their lives and their lives are transformed. Don't try and be a teacher or a preacher or a leader or whatever if you don't have that spiritual gift. But it is vital that you discover what you are gifted for and that you exercise your gift, because we need your gift. Every member of the body of Christ, the local church, needs all the gifts that God has given so that the whole body can grow to maturity in the Lord Jesus Christ. Your gifting defines your ministry. You are in your element when you're in your gifting. You will only be productive if you stay in your gifting that God has anointed you for. A gift continually exercised becomes a ministry. All right? Number five, character is primary, task is secondary. God's primary concern is with the character of the servant, not the service rendered. Integrity is valued above success. Integrity in God's economy is valued above success. Faithfulness is valued above fruitfulness. Maturity is valued above miracles. You know the saying, I'm sure: we teach what we know, we communicate what we are. We teach what we know, we actually communicate what we are. And so God's priority always is character. So if you study, and we'll do that in a few Sundays' time, what the Apostle Paul says to young Timothy about elders and deacons, you'll find to your surprise, if you don't know it, it's all about character. It's all about maturity. It's all about the fruit of the Holy Spirit being evident in your life. It's all about How like Jesus are you, really? God puts character above task. And then that brings us to point 6 on our little outline. Our role model and example for all ministry is the Lord Jesus himself. Come with me, if you will, to the Gospel of John, rather, first. The Gospel of John in chapter 13. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. How did Jesus show them the full extent of his love? How did he love them to the very end? Well, watch carefully. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Verse 12, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. In other words, selflessly serve one another. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Come with me now to Philippians and the second chapter. Philippians chapter 2. I'm sure you know Paul's Philippian hymn very well. He says, your attitude, verse 5, should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. It is the way the master went. Should not the servant tread it still? You know very well my little illustration of taking a handkerchief as a napkin and putting it up here like we were taught when I was growing up in the British colony of Southern Rhodesia. That's good manners. You put your napkin here and you're ready to serve. But really, Jesus says you put that around your waist and sorry, if you're eating, you're ready to be served. Jesus says, no, you put that around your waist like an apron and you serve. Our role model is the Lord Jesus himself. All biblical leadership is servant leadership. And then our final point, number 7, our ministry source is the Holy Spirit. So much of ministry in the church and in the world is self-propelled instead of spirit-propelled. Ministry in the New Testament, if it is worthy of the name, is Holy Spirit-propelled. Beloved, we can do little or nothing of eternal value if it is done in the flesh, in the natural, in our own strength, in our own ability. Real ministry that is of eternal value has its source in the Holy Spirit of God. And of course, the Holy Spirit never works independently of the Father and of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are one in essence, one in operation, one in mission. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, as Paul showed us here in 1 Corinthians 12:4-6, are the gifts of God. The workings of the Holy Spirit are the workings of God. Without Him, we can do nothing of eternal consequence. With Him, we are given a ministry to the church and to the world that will result in the will of God being accomplished. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are given graciously by God so that the work and the will of God can be accomplished. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are like scaffolding. As you see a great building going up, and the scaffolding is there. And when the building is complete, the scaffolding can be taken down and the tools put away. When the body of Christ is complete and the perfect comes, there will be no more need for the scaffolding of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Faith, hope, and love. Those will remain forever and ever. But until the body of Christ has been brought to maturity, when Jesus comes again, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are needed to build the edifice to maturity and to make it look like Jesus. The gifts of the Spirit are there to put Jesus on display in some way or another for the good of the whole body and the blessing of the world. And so Christ is our example. The Holy Spirit is our enabler. Therefore, whether it be leadership or encouraging or giving generously to God's work, the secret, the essential, is our relationship with God the Holy Spirit. And so may God grant us all the grace to serve the Jesus way. Amen? To desire no other reward than to know we are doing God's work in God's way, as channels of God's ministry through God the Holy Spirit, possessing us, anointing us, enabling us to be a blessing to the church and the world, loving the church as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. May God grant us all the grace to make our leaders' tasks a joy and not a burden. And may God grant those of us who lead his church the grace to lead the Jesus way. For I am your servant for Jesus' sake. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning for this magnificent vista, this heavenly view into your amazing grace that has enabled each one of us in the body of Christ not only to be born again and indwelt by the Holy Spirit of Jesus, but undeservedly gifted by you so that each one of us can serve. And so we pray you'd help each and every one of us to constantly discover, develop, and deploy our gifting to the good of the body and to the glory of Christ our living head. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen.